Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you.
Hey, today I'm doing something a little bit different. Because over the last couple of years, I've been lucky enough to be interviewed a lot of times on podcasts, radio shows and television programmes about my books, Feng Shui Your Way to Abundance and Manifest Your Way to Abundance. What's interesting is that no matter who interviews me, many of the same questions come up time and time again. So I thought today I'd answer them all in one place, whether you've read the books, are thinking of buying them, or simply want to know how Feng Shui and manifestation really work together, this show is for you. So grab yourself a cup of tea, get comfortable, and let's dive into the questions I get asked often. So in section one, I'm going to just talk about my journey and why I wrote the books, because this is the one that everybody asks me. So this is an interesting one. So I was born an intuitive into a mother who was very Catholic and didn't believe in all that sort of thing. So she spent a lot of time not happy with me. You know, when you answer the door for it rings, or you know who's on the other end of the phone, or you answer questions before that's happening. Remember, as a child, you don't know that this is something that you're doing. You just know you're in trouble. I was sent quite a lot of times away to my grandmother's, which actually was a blessing. I had the best grandmothers ever, who actually, when I look back at it, Naname, she used to always lay a table for three people, and I'd say, who's coming? And she was, oh, I don't know. And then somebody would turn up at the door. And, you know, she was just, I can't really explain it really as well as I want to, because you'd be thinking, oh, as a child, she was just teasing me that she didn't know. But sometimes we sat at a table and she'd cook for three and nobody turns up. And she allowed me all my weird and wonderful ways that I had then. So then I learnt to be quiet around my mom. But when I was about 17, I passed my driving test first time after only four lessons, a few lessons on a private estate, factory estate. But when I passed my test, she came down and I was holding my green slip, which she didn't know. She said, oh, I knew you'd never pass, and you hadn't had enough lessons. Anyway, I did pass. She then went on to, I said, it was really weird, Mum, when I was in the driving school. As I left with the instructor, I saw myself outside of the car looking in. It was the weirdest feeling. And she just looked at me and she said, well, when I was going across Blackheath when I was 15, I could do that. But I decided to turn my back on it. She said, unlike you, who seems to have taken it all in and decided that you're going to use this for the rest of your life. And I said, so you're telling me ultimately you actually had this gift? Oh, I wouldn't call it a gift, I would call it quite the opposite. And I was like, oh, okay, you know that, you know, I understand a little bit more about how you are now. But it gets you in trouble, Janine. And I'm like, not really, I have the right people around me, it's fine. Anyway, after that I decided that I would be quiet around her. I met my husband, or the father of my child, when I was 17, and he loved all of it because he thought it was really funny. So we got married very early, just to get out of the house, if I'm being honest, although I did love him, and still have affection for him. But basically, and by the way, he is my ex-husband. You wouldn't just say after 30 you would choose that. But basically, I remember once he said to me, oh, get your cousin Linda to ring you. So I thought about Linda, and I talked in her head to her and told her to get to the phone and to dial my number. And in those days, we didn't have mobile phones. Of course, it'd make you feel really ancient. Anyway, basically, it took her to the phone. I dialed the number in front of him, and then she rang, and he just laughed. So this is where manifestation came in. Manifestation is a buzzword now. But actually, at the time, I was probably doing it all along. And I think it was mainly because I was quite in tune with the energies around me. Again, didn't know that. No one told me what intuition was. No one told me anything. I just was a bit of a freak, if you ask me. And then gradually, when I got to 20, 21, I started to learn about these things. And one of my best friends, Lizetta, said, "Why don't you learn feng shui? Because you can then, hide behind it and people won't think anything of it." And I was like, "Really?" Anyway, I did the things. No one would have known this, but my husband and I opened 9 Pop's Choices fast food restaurants across the country. And then he said, "Oh, it's about time we had a baby, because you can't keep taking all these cats in, Janine," because everyone who knows me knows I rescue cats. So I just knew I was having a boy, and I painted the room. Everything I got was boy, didn't think anything of it. On the night he was born, in a thunderstorm, by the way, I gave birth, and my husband went to ring my mother, and she said she had a girl, didn't she? And he went, "Oh no, she had the boy she knew she was having." So my intuition, I follow really well, and I can feel things very definitely about people. I can pass people and think, oh, let's keep away from them. I can go into houses, know they're good houses, bad houses. So this is where my world started, but it didn't have labels. Okay, this is just me. I have connections. If I work with anyone, I totally have a connection with them. I'll only work with people that I want to work with. That sounds a bit bold, but some people just aren't for me. And I like to keep my energy really hot and keep it really high. So I absolutely only have people around me. I have the most amazing team around me, because one should, and it makes me laugh because they're all the tigers or rabbits. I have an amazing VA who I'm so connected to, Kelly. We get on so well. It's amazing. And we've worked together probably 5, 6 years, but she all intuitively knows what's going on. So it's amazing. But I won't go through all my team. So I started to learn feng shui. And in learning feng shui, the love of houses became so much that I loved them that I decided to do a photography course on buildings. So I went to Paris, Venice, Berlin to do my exams to be a member of the Royal Photographers Association, which I am, and I have letters after my name, but I don't use them because it's not my field. My field is feng shui, Chinese astrology, and manifestation. And before we get on to manifestation, I just wanted to say, you have to understand, when I started learning manifestation, I didn't know what it was and didn't have a title to it. So that's about a little bit about me, the crazy life that I've lived, from being a DJ when I was 17, in London, and underground stuff and everything, to now being on the wonderful UK Health Radio, as a presenter, which I absolutely love. Why do I love it? Because I meet the most amazing, amazing people. I'm about 60, 70 shows in, and I've made pure friends behind it, and worked with them on various things. And the thing about UK Health, it's all about bringing energy alive, and that's really important to me. So let's get another question under roll. Janine, what exactly is feng shui? Top question. I always say feng shui isn't about superstition. It's about understanding how your environment affects your thoughts, emotions, decisions, and opportunities. Your home is constantly talking to you. You walk into a room and you instantly feel relaxed. And if you don't, you need me to come in and make sure you are. So then you wait, you're there, and your house is making you, after a long day out, or you've been on Teams or whatever, or Zoom all day, your house is meant to make you feel that you should want to be in it. And I think this is really where feng shui comes in. It's about creating an environment, excuse me, guys, that supports your dreams instead of holding you back. So when I wrote Feng Shui, Your Way to Abundance, I was thinking, after consulting thousands of homes and businesses over the years, because I've been in it, oh, I don't know, 25 years now, people would say, I don't know why nothing changes. Yet when I walk through the door, I can always see why. Right? So when you're in your house, you don't see it, but you bring me in and I see it immediately. I see blocked hallways, broken items, unused rooms. An interesting one on unused rooms. I was brought into a house up in London, and this woman wanted to meet a partner. And the unused room and tatty room was in the northwest, and it was a bathroom. And she said, I just don't like the room. And I was like, well, this is where your man is. So if you don't like it, how are you ever going to find it? So basically, she redid all the bathroom, and within months she'd met a man who was living in Brighton, I think. So unused rooms are really important, okay? We all seem to have a spare room if we're lucky, okay? But also sometimes when you do have a house, there's a room you just don't like, or you, and if you're not going in it, it's not feeling the love. So I have one room like that in my house, as in I don't go in it enough. So what I do is I put my underwear in it. So every day I have to go into that room. I don't say I have to in a negative way, but it makes me go in and bring the energy up. I love this one. A cooker with only one ring ever used. Hands up, that's me. Not now, because I know it's a big feng shui thing. But if you the cooker is believed to be all about wealth. So if you're only using one ring of it, you're only bringing one source of income in. Leaking taps, bedrooms that drained energy. Their homes were telling the story before they even opened their mouths, right? So this for me is an example of how easy it is for me to find out what's wrong with someone's house. And also, when you use the Bagua or the Loshu, you'll know which part of their world is affected, from relationships to the career to wealth, abundance, etc. So I wanted to write a practical book that anyone could use. So my book, Feng Shui Your Way to Abundance, is not complicated terminology. As you hear me speak, is how the book is. I wrote it. I'm not a writer. I am a writer now because I've written enough books, but my terminology, I call it chatty. Okay. So there's no complicated terminology, no expensive cures, just simple changes that actually make genuine differences. So, can Feng Shui really change your life? I always answer this. Feng Shui won't magically make you win the lottery, but it can absolutely help create an environment where you think more clearly, feel calmer, notice opportunities, take action, sleep better, feel happier. And when you change those things, your life starts to change too. Do you have to spend lots of money? Absolutely not. Some of the most powerful feng shui cures are completely free. Decluttering to start with. Can you imagine, if you go to one of your areas, say the southeast, and it's full of clutter, that's affecting your wealth. So I always say decluttering, cleaning, repairing, opening curtains, using every ring on your cooker, fixing a dripping tap, and removing dead plants. Very important. Those tiny changes create the huge energetic shifts that you actually need. So, we're just going to take a break. You're listening to Janine Lowe on UK Health Radio. And after the break, I will be talking about manifesting and the question everyone asks.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, hey, I'm back. These are the questions that people ask me, manifesting, and it goes on for ages about the questions are amazing and I love it. But I wrote Manifest Your Way to Abundance, which came out about 3 months ago, because I wanted to explain to people what manifesting really is. It's aligning yourself. So I always say, right, clear, align, action. That's the thread of the book. But it's 118 pages. You can do it in a couple of hours, yeah. Or for the thing. I also did an audio. So if you like listening to me, I've got an audio on it. If you've got a Kindle, I've got a Kindle, and there's a course as well. But what I was going to say to you, when I'm on these podcasts, people ask me this certain question: what is manifestation? So this is my answer. Manifestation isn't wishing. It isn't hoping. It isn't sitting on the sofa waiting for the universe. Manifestation is becoming the person capable of receiving what you want. That's very different. So it's you might not believe in it, right? But if you go through the couple of, well, there's about 10 ways of manifesting in my book. And obviously, I am totally aligned. So when I think, you know, because I grew up thinking about things and then they'd happen, didn't know it was manifestation. But I learnt if I thought about something enough and I felt from a happy point of view, felt something, it meant that something was going to happen. At that time, in the very early stages, I didn't use it to manifest what I wanted. An example of lately, right? So I take in rescue cats, yeah, and find them homes or some stay. I'm not a mad cat lady. It's just I didn't have dolls when I was younger. I had a cat and I just love that energy. And cats are drawn to me. Okay. So, you know, as crazy as that, animals have energy. Some people are dog people. I have a dog too, but that's the thing. So the other day I was just running out of cat food, yeah. And I knew I needed to go and do a big shop on it. And I was thinking about it. And I put out to the universe, I need to do it, because I always feel universe around us all the time. The postman delivered 2 huge sacks of dried cat food. I was like, why am I surprised? I'd already asked for it. And I wasn't, it was because I was so needed it that it happened. It's a lot of people, when they manifest when they, oh my God, I've got to pay this bill. Yeah. And you think, yeah, I need the money, right? But the universe doesn't work with money. No, I want to be a lottery winner. It doesn't do that. What it does, it comes back to you with what you want, right? So money is just an exchange. You know, we get attached, we've got to earn this, we've got to pay those. And yes, we do. But what the universe likes to do is give us what we actually want. I did have a really sad story. I remember years ago that I wanted, I just randomly, I was playing with it, 25K, right? So I said about 25K and thought about it. Oh yeah, I got 25K. It was in 2001. I had a massive car accident. So from then on, I learned, do not ask for money. Ask for what you want. And people say, oh, asking it, you can't keep asking for things. It's really bad to ask for things for yourself because we're brought up that we shouldn't ask things for ourselves. But actually, the universe loves to give us what we want. Literally, it loves it. It loves it when we're happy. So when you talk about manifesting, the universe is listening. And I'm a great person for gratitude, either in the morning or before I go to bed. What you have to do is just think about things that you've had today that make you happy, right? So the universe, its job is to make you happy. Its job is good. It's not, its job is not to make you unhappy. It's listening to you all the time. And it's really important that you tell it what you want. Otherwise, you'll be dished up things that you don't want. And sometimes it sends you things that you've asked for, but there's a quirk in it. It's not quite what you thought. And you went, oh, I didn't actually ask for this. I asked for that. But the quirk is what the universe thought you really needed. You know, that boss that you didn't want, but actually that boss taught you something that will change your life for the future. So it's got a way of helping you in many different ways. Anyway, I could go on about that for ages and I don't have that sort of time. So I'm just going to answer some more questions people give us. Can anyone manifest? Yes, we all do daily. The only difference is whether we're consistently creating our future or unconsciously repeating our past. I feel like I say that again. The only difference is whether you are consciously creating your future or unconsciously repeating your past. You think about that one. Why do some people struggle to manifest? Usually because they're asking for one thing. I think I've covered that. But thinking something completely different. So they're asking for, what should we say? I really want to go on holiday to Spain. Random thought. But they're remembering when they were younger and they went on a boat in Cornwall or something. And so the universe is a little bit confused. You have to be very much on the intention. I'd love more money. I'm never lucky. I'll probably fail. I'm not good enough. The universe listens to your energy as much as your words. So talk positively. Don't get me wrong, we all have those days where we need to do Netflix or whatever. But ultimately, you need to be in the right mood, the happy mood, to do what you want to make it happen. But that's such a long subject, and I've got a few things I need to cover on this call. So the next question, what does feng shui fit into manifestation? This is where people become fascinated. Imagine trying to grow beautiful flowers. Would you plant them in concrete? No. Your home is exactly the same. Feng shui prepares the energetic soil. Manifestation plants the seeds. Your actions help them grow. I like that. I like that. I thought that was good. What's your favourite manifestation tip? So I like writing, but actually I'm a bit of an imaginer as well. So I've covered both, but I'll talk about scripting. Write about your future as though it's already happened. This is the trigger method. Describe how it feels, where you are, who you're with, what you're grateful for. Your subconscious starts looking for ways to make that future possible. Remember, do it from a point of happiness, not desperation. You need to get in the right mode. Now, a lot of people know I like my fast cars. Ever since I was 17 as a DJ, I always have fast cars. I do a lot of my manifesting in my cars because I get in it and I love the energy as I turn on the engine. Well, you don't turn on the engine or you just push a button. I did actually think there'd be flying cars by now, but I think I might miss out on that one. So I think you have to think what makes you happy when you start to manifest. If you manifest as I said before, in a place of unhappiness, that doesn't work. So I love scripting. Write about the future so it's happened. Exactly. Your subconscious is like your inner voice. You know, when you think, shall I have the chocolate or shall I have a piece of fruit? Well, for me, it's always chocolate. Okay. So it's the subconscious, but you need to hear it inside yourself as well. So what's the biggest mistake people make? Okay, this is interesting. I wrote this down. They become obsessed with the outcome. Sometimes life delivers something even better than we imagined. You've got to leave room for magic. So when you're saying, I don't know, what can I say? You know, cat. I have a cat that I took off the street, Alley Cat. And I was going to farm him or give him to somebody who he would have his own home, yeah. When he entered my house, he fell in love with the house, I promise you. And the other house cats that were there was four. I thought, being on the streets, he would be in fight mode. They all, I told them, by the way, I'm just going to introduce someone that might be staying. And they were all round him fussing and really, really loving with him. So I didn't think I would keep him, but the universe said, yes, you need to keep him. So that's what I mean. When you make your decisions, what you're going to do. For me, I was going to get him healed and then find him the perfect home. But the universe went, no, he's yours. And the space opened up. So we're just going to go for a break. My name's Janine Lowe on UK Health Radio. And after the break, I'll be talking about the quick fire questions radio shows and TV presenters ask me.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, let's finish with some quick fire questions. Where should people start with feng shui? Do you notice how I started talking faster when I said that? Slow down, Janine. Where should people start with feng shui? Your front door. It's where every opportunity enters your home. You keep it clean. You keep it shiny. I do a whole thing on that in Feng Shui, Your Way to Abundance, and Manifest Your Way to Abundance. The entrance, if you can't do anything else, make sure there's no loads of shoes, coats, etc. So when you come in the door, it's free. Your door doesn't squeak. It's clean. It's tidy. As you come in, there's lovely smells. So when people come into your house, they're like, oh, yeah, that's Janine's house, yeah? Or that's Joe's house or whatever. So you come in and then your own house. Can you imagine coming into your favourite smell and knowing your home, you know? Whether it be coffee or vanilla or whatever, this is very important. So I'm often asked, which room has the biggest impact? It is the kitchen. It is the wealth area. So the kitchen is the most important. It's the family room. It's where people get together. Some people will say it is the bedroom because you spend roughly a third of your life there. And you need your bedroom to support you. So, yes, I would put bathroom on number one, as is the kitchen. But always start with the kitchen. Like when you're moving house, make sure it's the kitchen item that you take out last. And when you go into your new home, make sure it's the kitchen product that you've taken out of the other house into the new house. So you're making the positive family move. What's the first thing you declutter? This is so easy. Anything broken. If it's broken and can be repaired and you want it, then keep it. If you won't be able to repair it, let it go. You don't have to keep Granny Jones's cup, because she had it with a chip in it. No, that has to bin if you can't fix it. Another one. Do crystals work? So in my book, Feng Shui Your Ways of Abundance, I had to do some, I didn't know anything about crystals. And I didn't know anything that would help me support Feng Shui. So I did some really, really in-depth work on crystals. And I have some friends that all love crystals. And what I believe is they can support your intention. But remember, a crystal sitting next to clutter has a much harder job to do. So using Feng Shui and crystals, very important. I was at Mind, Body and Spirit on stage with Teresa Chong about a month ago, maybe a bit longer. And Olympia was full of crystals and I couldn't help going around and look at it. And it was funny. I just fell in love with certain stalls. You know, the people knew everything about crystals. They weren't people who were trying to, you know, sell you them. They just loved it. And from that passion of the people that were selling the crystals, I bought the most amazing tiger, what would you call it? It's like a sphere. It's beautiful. So yes, I do believe crystals do work, but they work alongside Feng Shui and manifesting. What's your favorite area of the Bagua? Which means which is your favorite area of the house? Now, I actually have three favorite. So the southeast, because that's, well, people call it the wealth area. I call it abundance because I don't believe wealth is money. I believe abundance is what you're after, which is health, wealth, happiness, friends, everything like that. So I like the southeast. Southeast. It's associated with abundance and growth. So I always plant healthy plants there, which symbolize continual expansion. And I also have, Art Deco house. So the outside is also in the southeast. So I have a pond there with fishes that I've had for 25 years. Although my cat Esme thinks it's great fun to go and chase them. And she has had the odd one. And no, I'm not going to say bless her. She's naughty. Another big win I'm often asked, can renters use Feng Shui? Absolutely. You don't need to own your own home. You simply need to improve the space you're living in. Another question. What's one thing everyone can do today? Well, I've told you, the front door. Walk through your front door as though you're a visitor. I always think this is important. What do you notice first? What abundance feel welcome? Will it turn around and leave? So you're thinking of the person coming in. Well, do it as yourself, but you've got to think of it as abundance coming to your front door. Shall I go through there? Is it okay? Have you got flowers outside, nice pathway as you come through the door? Do you feel greeted? Do you feel happy? So think of that. Abundance is not going to come through that door unless it feels happy. So this is a great one. This is the one that they ask me all the time. If listeners only remembered one thing from today's show, what would it be? They say, give us a one tip. So your home isn't separate from your life. I'm going to say it again. Your home is not separate from your life. You are entwined. It reflects your thoughts, your habits, your dreams, and your future. Change your environment, change your energy, change your life. So basically your house that you live in, if it's a mess, then you're a mess, says she looking at the audio. I was on a TV show last night, or radio show actually, at 9 p.m. And if you know me, I'm someone that's up at 6. I'm probably in bed by 8:30. So I always look around my house, genuinely, because I come in with stuff. You all come in with stuff, you know, a packet of crisps. Did you put it in the bin or whatever? Or you take things from upstairs and you take them downstairs, or people come in and they move stuff around, which does happen in my house. So you can constantly declutter your house or move things where you want them to be. So my book, Feng Shui Your Way to Abundance, tells you how to get your house in order. Very simple little tips on how to do it. And, you know, people say, oh, let's go to decluttering. Oh, God, I hate decluttering. I say spend 15 minutes on it. Do that drawer that you chuck everything in. You chuck it. I have a drawer. You chuck everything in. Oh, I know it's in that drawer. Do the drawer out. Your wardrobes. You, maybe two of you sharing a wardrobe. You just put it in and put it in. But do you wear everything? No. But oh, I might wear that. But you don't. So put all the hangers. I'll put your clothes in your hangers and face them one way. After 6 months, well, I say 3 months, if you haven't actually used that item, hold it. Will I wear it? Do I need it? No, I don't. Move it on. Again, so feng shui, I cover decluttering. I do cover cures, which is ideas on how to make the magic come into your house. I teach you about garden feng shui. God, I'm trying to think, but anything to do with your house, your home, your relationships with people, your relationship with your partner. And actually, I remember the question was, what are your three areas, one area? So I said southeast, but one of the other areas I absolutely adore is the northwest. And I love that area because that is helpful people. And I love being around people that, when I say help, they just inspire me. So I always have the northwest all up and ready and happy. Okay, manifest your way to abundance is how the things that you want to happen, I've gone into detail on how you can make them happen. And there's no, until you've read it or listened to it, because it's on audio, you can't say, oh, that won't happen. Because I put in there in each chapter why I've used it, how it's worked, and how I did it. So that's in Manifest Your Way to Abundance, which is out on Amazon and all best selling bookshops, but it's also on my website, www.janinelowe.co.uk. So I've been writing again, and I think this is important for me to tell you about these two books that are coming out, because they're coming out and they will make absolutely great gifts if you, after you've used them, not after you've used them, then give them the gift, but when you see them, you will think, oh my God, they will be amazing gifts. So one of them, the little book of 100 Feng Shui Tips, will be out on September the 30th. And I have given you 100 Feng Shui Tips that you can use in different rooms of your house. And I've done it in 10 sections, 10 tips for the bedroom, 10 tips for the kitchen, etc., etc. All things that I use and work. And you can dip in and out of it. It's like a pocketbook. So it's an easy book. And though you shouldn't mention that word, that happens on December the 25th, so I haven't mentioned the word, they make great gifts. So the other thing I've been umming and ahhing about is whether to write a book on 2027 and what to expect. So I went, should I write it? Shouldn't I write it? So yes, I have. So coming out September the 30th is the year of the goat 2027. And in it, it will have all the Chinese animals, what to expect, how to feng shui your home for 2027. I've even put like, what's your lucky numbers, lucky things, who will be in your world to help you. Oh yeah, it's all in there. So I've done every Chinese animal, and that again will be out on September the 30th. So I hope you've enjoyed today's behind the scenes episode. And hearing some of the questions, I know I've waffled a bit on some of them. I've asked that I am often asked these whenever I'm interviewed about my books. If you've ever wondered whether feng shui or manifestation could make a difference in your life, I'd encourage you to start with our simple change today. It doesn't have to be the complete home makeover. Clear your hallway, brighten a dark corner, use everything, every ring in your cooker, fix that dripping tap, or create a small space that inspires you every time you pass it. Remember, abundance isn't just about money. It's about health, happiness, opportunity, relationships, confidence, and living a life that feels aligned with you, who you truly are. And again, if you'd like to learn more, you can find my books, Feng Shui Your Way to Abundance, Manifest Your Way to Abundance, at Amazon or on my website. So thank you so much for spending time with me today. It's always pleasurable to share these conversations, because people come back to me and they say, Oh, Janine, I listened to you on this, and yeah, I've learned this and I've learned that. So until next time, take care of your home, take care of your energy, and remember, sometimes the smallest changes you make today become the biggest transformations tomorrow.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.